That is life, beloved. Coming to you from Riverside, California, this is the LifeSpring One-Year Bible, and podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. Thank you for inviting me along in your day. It's Gospel Saturday, and we're going to read John 5 and 6. The website is lifespringmedia.com, where you'll find about 3,000 episodes of various shows, and I'll have contact information at the end of today's show. Before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together yet again today, and I pray that you would bless our time. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's begin. John chapter 5. Later, Jesus went to Jerusalem for another Jewish festival. In the city near the Sheep Gate was a pool with five porches, and its name in Hebrew was Bethesda. Many sick, blind, lame, and paralyzed people were lying close to the pool. Beside the pool was a man who had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw the man and realized that he had been crippled for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" The man answered, "Sir, I don't have anyone to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. I try to get in, but someone else always gets there first." Jesus told him, "Pick up your mat and walk." Right then, the man was healed. He picked up his mat and started walking around. The day on which this happened was the Sabbath. When the Jewish leaders saw the man carrying his mat, they said to him, "This is the Sabbath. No one is allowed to carry a mat on the Sabbath." But he replied, "The man who healed me told me to pick up my mat and walk." They asked him, "Who is this man that told you to pick up your mat and walk?" But he did not know who Jesus was, and Jesus had left because of the crowd. Later, Jesus met the man in the temple and told him, "You are now well, but don't sin anymore, or something worse might happen to you." The man left and told the leaders that Jesus was the one who had healed him. They started making a lot of trouble for Jesus because he did things like this on the Sabbath. But Jesus said, "My Father has never stopped working, and this is why I keep on working." Now the leaders wanted to kill Jesus for two reasons. First, he had broken the law of the Sabbath. But even worse, he had said God was his Father, which made him equal with God. Jesus told the people, "I tell you for certain, the Son cannot do anything on his own. He can do only what he sees the Father doing, and he does exactly what he sees the Father do. The Father loves the Son and has shown him everything he does. The Father will show him even greater things, and you will be amazed. Just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants to. The Father doesn't judge anyone, but he has made his Son the judge of everyone. The Father wants all people to honor the Son as much as they honor him. When anyone refuses to honor the Son, this is the same as refusing to honor the Father who sent him. I tell you for certain that everyone who hears my message and has faith in the one who sent me has eternal life and will never be condemned. They have already gone from death to life. I tell you for certain the time will come, and it is already here, when all of the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen to it will live. The Father has the power to give life, and he has given that same power to the Son. And he has given his Son the right to judge everyone, because he is the Son of Man. Don't be surprised. The time will come when all of the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man, and they will come out of their graves. Everyone who has done good things will rise to life. But everyone who has done evil things will rise and be condemned. I cannot do anything on my own. The Father sent me, and he is the one who told me how to judge. I judge with fairness because I obey him, and I don't just try to please myself. If I speak for myself, there is no way to prove I am telling the truth. But there is someone else who speaks for me, and I know what he says is true. You sent messengers to John, and he told them the truth. I don't depend on what people say about me, but I tell you these things so that you may be saved. John was a lamp that gave a lot of light, and you were glad to enjoy his light for a while. But something more important than John speaks for me. I mean the things that the Father has given me to do. All of these speak for me and prove that the Father sent me. The Father who sent me also speaks for me, but you have never heard his voice or seen him face to face. You have not believed his message because you refused to have faith in the one he sent. You search the Scriptures because you think you will find eternal life in them. The Scriptures tell about me, but you refuse to come to me for eternal life. I don't care about human praise, but I do know that none of you love God. I have come with my Father's authority, and you have not welcomed me. But you will welcome people who come on their own. How could you possibly believe? You like to have your friends praise you, and you don't care about praise that the only God can give. Don't think that I will be the one to accuse you to the Father. You have put your hope in Moses, yet he is the very one who will accuse you. Moses wrote about me, and if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. But if you don't believe what Moses wrote, how can you believe what I say? John chapter 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you were looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus replied, Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. I have comments today in both chapters. In chapter 5, after Jesus healed the man who'd been unable to walk for 38 years at the Pool of Bethesda, the Jewish religious leaders were indignant that Jesus told the man to carry his mat on the Sabbath. Jesus answered their offendedness, to coin a word, in some detail, and then he said this in John 39 and 40. And I'm going to read these two verses in several different translations. In the Common English Version, it says, You search the Scriptures because you think you will find eternal life in them. The Scriptures tell about me, but you refuse to come to me for eternal life. And then the New Living Translation says, You search the Scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the Scriptures point to me, yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. And the New American Standard renders it this way, You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. And then one more, the Amplified Version. You search and keep on searching and examining the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And yet it is those very scriptures that testify about me. And still you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. I read these different translations so that you could really get what Jesus was saying. Beloved, let us not be like these people. You and I study the scriptures together, but we need to remember that the goal is not to become experts in scripture. Our goal is to know the Word, as in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So if we study Scripture and we miss Christ, then we are as lost as the so-called religious experts Jesus was speaking to at the pool. To know Him, to love Him, to put our trust in Him, that is life, beloved. Amen? Amen. All right, John chapter 2 begins with Jesus feeding the 5,000. Then He walked on the water to join the disciples in the boat they were taking to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And after they got there, they were joined by the people who had seen Him feed the multitude. And He points out to them that they followed Him there because He fed them bread. And He talked about the fact that He is the bread of life, and anyone who comes to Him will never be hungry, and whoever believes in Him will never be thirsty. And then He says something that must surely have shocked the people. He says that unless you eat His flesh and drink His blood, you have no life in you. And He says, quote, "This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever," unquote. Well, what could Jesus possibly mean? Of course, He wasn't talking about cannibalism, as many evidently thought. So what was He saying? Well, throughout His discourse, He dropped hints. Jesus likened Himself to bread, the bread of life. And to that culture, bread was the source of life because it was their staple food. Bread represented life itself. Without bread, you starved. Jesus said He was sent by the Father from heaven. He reminded them that their ancestors had received manna from heaven and yet died. What is it that enables us to have eternal life? Isn't it the sacrificial death of Jesus? Isn't it His broken body and spilled blood? Of course. Every time we take communion or the Lord's Supper, whatever you call it in your church, we are reminded of His broken body and spilled blood. The bread and the wine, or grape juice, as the case may be, are symbols of the sacrifice He made. Jesus, in saying that unless you eat His flesh and drink His blood, you cannot have life, is not saying that taking communion saves you, is He? Is there any place in the Bible that says you must take communion to be saved? What did Jesus say, even in this chapter? He said, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life." And there are many, many verses that say virtually the same thing. If you believe in the Son, you will be saved. So it isn't about communion, is it? What Jesus was saying when He said you must eat His flesh and drink His blood is that you must accept the sacrifice He made of His own body and spilled blood for yourself. You must believe that His sacrifice covers your sins. You must make that the central part of what and who you are. Just as when you eat and drink, that food becomes a part of you. Does all that make sense? Let me know. Let me hear from you. Contact information will be at the end of today's show. Tomorrow will be Epistle Sunday, and we'll read 1 Timothy chapters 4 and 5. We'll also have a time of praise reports and prayer requests. If there is a prayer request or a praise you'd like to share with the LifeSpring family, be sure to listen at the end of the show for how to get that information to me. I have some people to thank today. Praise the Lord. First off, we have a distinguished producer today. Anonymous came in with their weekly $33.33 donation. Thank you so much, Anonymous. God bless you. And we have an executive producer today. John Train came in with his monthly $50 donation. Thank you, John. God bless you as well. And associate producer Michael Hainer came in with his weekly $7.77 Striper donation. Thank you, Michael. God bless you. I'll tell you what, beloved, these weekly and monthly donations really help out a lot. You can sign up for one as well if you're blessed by the show, if you're happy to have a new episode every day so that you can read the Bible in a year, or if you'd like to be a part of bringing the Bible to people around the world. I would be honored if you would support the show either weekly, monthly, quarterly, or even a one-time donation of your time, your talent, or your treasure. To donate whatever amount you feel led to give, please go here.
LifespringMedia.com/support.
I'll thank you, and I believe that God will bless you. Speaking of donating time, talent, or treasure, this is the team who donates time, talent, and sometimes even treasure. Sister Denise does the transcripts, Michael Hainer does the chapters, Scott Snyder and Jason Pascal do show art, and today Scott donated his talent, and Sister Brittany, who writes for the newsletter and distributes the newsletter. My hearty thanks go to each one of you. Thank you. God bless you. So if you have a comment, a question, a prayer request, or a praise report, here's how to reach me. To leave a voice message, call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511. Or if you prefer to type your message for prayer requests and praise reports, go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. And for comments and questions, go to comment.lifespringmedia.com. And as always, I'd love to get any one of these via Boostergram. Lastly, you can always email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Thank you for inviting me along with you today. I'm so glad you're there. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
See ya.